So this is the parsha of Yitzchak was misakein tefilas mincha, and Yitzchak's takan of tefilas mincha is conveyed in a very strange way. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada, very strange term for tefillah, but obviously David HaMelech felt this was a term for tefillah.
It's only strange because we look at tefillah a different way. Maybe,
right.
Maybe that's
the
real tefillah, not
tefillah. Right, which is where I'm heading. You want to swap? Well, David HaMelech also uses the term sicha, eshboch lefanav sichi, sarasi lefanav agid, tefillah nikiyatav, lefei Hashem yishboch sicho. So the two psukim in Tehillim, which David HaMelech Avram captures that it's not so strange. David HaMelech also didn't believe it was strange. Eshboch lefanav sichi, sarasi lefanav agid, tefillah nikiyatav, lefei Hashem yishboch sicho. And the question is, Avram, what aspect of tefillah is sicha or siach meant to convey? And probably the answer is as follows. And to help you appreciate it, let me take a step back. Very often boys will come over when they're discussing tefillah, and tefillah is something you should discuss. Just like you don't feel embarrassed to discuss the tosfos, you shouldn't feel embarrassed to talk amongst yourselves with the Rebbeim. How do I improve my tefillah? What should I be thinking about during tefillah? It's not something that's going to improve on its own. It's not something you can just put on pilot and expect it to improve. It should improve. Yesterday I was at the bris of my grandson, so I was actually the shadchan. 9 years ago, I was mishadech my daughter. And what I know about this boy, not much, but I remember there was a story. My Zaidi, who learned in Slobodka, told me that, you know how they say that the father of the bride would walk into the Beis Medrash and say to the mashkiach, I'm looking for a chassan for my daughter. Give me the biggest talmud chacham. That's not how it happened. He didn't want the biggest talmud chacham. The story actually happened that the father of the bride would walk into the yeshiva and ask the mashkiach, give me your best davener. Because davening was always seen as a better barometer for deep Yirat Shamayim. Because, as you know, learning can get very, very disassociated with identity. A lot of cognitive dissonance. You just like to think about ideas. But davening is pretty much a reflection of where you stand with your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is my only Hasidic Rebbe story. 9 years ago, after telling that story so many times throughout my years as a teacher, I saw a boy in shul. I was away for Pesach somewhere, and I saw a young man in shul really davening beautifully. So I went over to his father and said, tell me a little bit about your son. And as the father told me a little bit about the son, I said, you know, I think my daughter would be a great shidduch. So I fixed him up. This was the first person my daughter ever dated, and they're married now with three children. So, and what was so interesting yesterday is that my grandson was named after my son-in-law's great-grandfather. And he was a Rav, and his name was Yaakov, so they turned the name into Yisrael. And my son-in-law's grandmother got up to speak yesterday. She was the daughter of this person who the baby was named after. And it's hard to hear because we were really spaced out in a very, very broad area. So it's really hard to hear what she was saying. But basically, she was saying that he was known for tefillah, and he would go around shul telling people, who are you davening to? Don't daven to anyone else. Daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was one of his things. Evidently, my son-in-law inherited it from his grandfather, the importance of davening. Anyway, as follows. People sometimes come over to me and say, Rebbe, I'm having a hard time davening. I have so much on my mind. My friends, my family, algebra tests, college, future, corona. I have so many things on my mind. I can't clear my mind for tefillah. I have so many machshavos zaros. And I think the answer to that is, tefillah is a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just praise. It's not just requests. It's simply sharing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sharing your thoughts and your hearts with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And whatever is on your heart, share it with Hashem. And even if they're not necessarily the most sacred or holy thoughts about Torah and Tefillah, whatever's bugging you, share with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Avram presumably has a gender-oriented Tefillah. His Tefillah is to pray for stone, even though, as we talked about last week, the Pasuk of Avram is after stone. But Avram's Tefillah is clearly agenda-driven. What is Yitzchak davening for? Nothing. Yitzchak has a very boring life. No kings, no angels, no wars, no departures from Israel, no visions. It's a very simple life. We'll talk about this next week in Parshas Toldos. The only major drama in his life, who he's going to marry, is solved by someone else. Talk about Malach Danasa Seydecher, just sitting there, and the Kala comes walking in. You just snap your fingers, and she comes walking in. So he had nothing to daven for. No one was sick. No one was ill. Next week, in Parshas Toldos, we'll see Yitzchak davening because his wife is barren, and Rivka doesn't have a child. But that's not where Chazal tagged Tfilas Mincha to. Chazal tagged Tfilas Mincha to Yitzchak. He's very calm, he's very serene, there's no drama, there's no pressure, there's no tension. He's just talking to Hashem. He's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's talking to the Ribono Shel Olam. And even if there's nothing you're requesting, or your mind isn't free enough to lodge those requests, you just try to share whatever, like you come home at the end of the day, we speak to your parents, speak to your friend, how was your day? And you share with that person how your day was. And even if those thoughts veer a little bit from the words, I keep telling you, you may not be at the madrega where kavana can be correlated to the words. That's a very, very high madrega of tefillah. But there's a lot of space between thinking about each word and what they mean and thinking about baseball or football or friends or movies. If you're thinking about your life and sharing it with Hashem, even though it doesn't necessarily dovetail with Lishalayim Ircha and Semach David Abdecha, but you know you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch when you talk. Sometimes, I know it's hard, but sometimes in my davening, I'm so engrossed in a sugya that my mind starts wandering to the sugya while I'm davening. And I'm frustrated by it, and I try to bring it back to the words, but I know that's a better davening than when my mind starts to wander to whatever pressures I have in my life. Even though that's a better davening, my mind starts to wander to things that have nothing to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a lot of space for kavana. And it's not only all or nothing, do I have kavana about what the words of the Shalayim Ircha or the Malshina mean, or I don't have kavana at all. It's a lot of feeling Hashem's presence through the words you're saying, even though, again, it doesn't stack neatly on top of the words. And this is why Yitzchak's tefillah is in the Sada. Basically, it's tefillah simcha. It's in the middle of the work. You're thinking about your work. Afterwards, you're going to return to work. Very often when I interview, tonight is officially my first interview session. I'm giving a shiur at MTA, and a Zoom shiur. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know what I'm going to say. But generally, when I have these meetings, I ask, tell me about your davening. Which is your favorite davening? That's one of my questions. What's your favorite davening? And it's interesting to hear the responses. Again, it's just a conversation starter. There's no right or wrong answer to it. I mean, there is a wrong answer. What's davening? That'd be a wrong answer. I don't have a favorite davening. That's also wrong. Very few wrong answers, but a lot of right answers. It's just to see how they're... So very often a boy will say, oh, mincha's the hardest because I've got so much on my mind. I'm coming in from school, from classes, from papers, then I'm going back. It's really hard to daven. And some boys will say, my best tefillah is mincha. Because of so much on my mind that I get to share with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's really just flipping it around. And sometimes your tefillah is just sharing what you're going through with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it's not dramatic, no illness, no tragedy, no suffering, no corona crisis. Just to check in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was like a check-in tefillah. If Shacharis and Maariv are more dramatic, call mincha check-in tefillah. So I want to check in. I'm in the middle of my day. I don't want to let too much time elapse. I want to make sure I find some time. And maybe Kavana will suffer, but the fact that you're checking in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make the tefillah more meaningful. Maybe in the morning it's easier to have kavana. At night it's easier to have kavana. During the day you grab a minyan here or you daven mincha there. It's harder to have this focused kavana. But I think Avram, as you said, that's what Yitzchak's teaching us. Ve'etzi Yitzchak l'suach basada. He's in the sada, not just physically and geographically, but mentally. His mind is in the sada. He's busy. Yitzchak was the first farmer. He wasn't a shepherd. He was the first person. Farming is a lot more intense than shepherding. You've ever seen shepherds lately walking around? You basically just make sure the sheep don't wander off. You get your flute, you play some flute music, you know, you think about it. It's not really that intensive. It's herding. You have to make sure they eat. Whereas farming is hard. It's labor intensive. It's large swaths of land. And if a shepherd, you move from hill to hill, but at any one given moment, you're at a certain hilltop, you're at a certain mountain. Farming, you got large tracts of land. A lot of responsibility Yitzchak had. We see this come to the fore next week's parsha when he forms Mea Shearim. We'll talk a little bit about Yitzchak's farming. So, allow yourself to succeed in that type of tefillah as a form of tefillah. The secret to tefillah is variety and diversity, versatility. Don't try to pigeonhole your tefillahs into one mode, into one model, and to judge your success in tefillah as to whether it adheres to that model. Try to have as many different models of tefillah and go with the flow, literally. Go with where you are and let that be your tefillah. Famous Rav Aaron story. Again, a little bit different, but a little bit the same. Did I tell you about when they were in the hospital and he was saying Tehillim? It's a really great story. They were all in the hospital at some point. I think one of the daughters and one of Rav Aaron's children who was delivering, or I don't know, was an illness, but essentially it was a very, very dicey medical situation. And all the family gathered in the hospital room, waiting room, and they were saying Tehillim. So they're all saying Tehillim fervently. Then at a certain point, the doctor comes out and gives the all clear sign. Everything's fine. Everyone's out of the, you know, she's out of the woods. So the whole family starts hugging and kissing and Baruch Hashem and happy. And where's Abba? Where's Rav Aaron? He's in the corner saying Tehillim. So one of the kids goes over to Rav Aaron and says, Abba, didn't you hear? Didn't you hear? The doctor came out. Everything's all clear. She's healthy. You don't say Tehillim anymore. So Rav Aaron said, well, I should only say Tehillim when I need Hashem. I shouldn't say Tehillim when I want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a little bit different from what I'm saying, but sometimes we find our relationship with Hashem spiking under very, very specific circumstances when we need Hashem, when our minds are clear. And part of the trick in life is to, on the one hand, bring Hashem into every moment, even those that aren't Tefillas Ne'ilah or Yom Kippur. And of course, while still maintaining the difference between Tefillas Ne'ilah and playing basketball, not suffering the pancake effect with everything, just feels the same. It's stretching, but not flattening. It's a good way to say it in four words. Stretching, don't flatten. Stretch it, but don't flatten it. Have the peaks and valleys, but also make sure that it's across as large a topography as possible. That's really the secret to Avodas Hashem. A lot of stretchers are flatteners. A lot of people who don't stretch, a lot of people who maintain the peaks aren't able to stretch. You can be very firm in the base medrash, very firm in front of a sefer, but how does it trickle out to the rest of your life? And if you try to trickle out to the rest of your life, you dilute it. So how do you make sure that you have intensity, but also sweep and breath? Okay, let's review where we are right now.